Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Good morning, Father's House. Man, what great worship we had today. Prayer time. Pastor Simone, thank you for hearing from God and sharing that story with us today. Wow, can you believe it? Let me welcome our online church. Online church, we want to thank you for worshiping with us today. We don't take it lightly. We are honored that you would worship with us, but we would love for you to join us in the house and to help fill this house up and to be part of the energy that comes when God's people get together. So come on out and join us today. Can you believe it's end of July? End of July already. On one hand, I'm sad because I have loved the Nobody Chronicles. Today's the last part of that series. Have you enjoyed the Nobody Chronicles? I mean, to hear all of the different voices of people speaking into us and giving us next steps that we can put together in our lives for God to use us. But you know what? Next week, get ready. Our senior pastor and his wife will be back. Pastor Terry will be back in this pulpit, and he has a word for you as he begins a new series next week. Well, last week, Mike Blackhall and Michael Brown taught us some great lessons. Mike Blackhall taught us about Tychicus. Say it. Let's say it for Mike. Tychicus. It was so much fun. And he just taught us some great words. Michael Brown, man, he taught us something great. He taught us that the cross that we're asked to carry may not be the one that we wanted to pick up and carry. That has just settled in my spirit all week, Michael. I appreciate you teaching me that this week. Well, this week, we have two new speakers for you with great lessons from the Word of God. We have Richard Staten, who serves as one of our ushers, and Miss Roberta, who is over our growth track and teaches in growth track. They have two words from the Holy Spirit today. They're going to challenge you. And so get ready, get your notes out, open your hearts, your ears, and come on up, Richard. Come on up and teach us today.
Thank you. Have you ever lost your integrity due to your personal desires? Here's some scenarios. Men, you ever bought golf clubs or maybe a gun and you wasn't honest with your wife about how much it cost? Or women, have you ever bought a pair of shoes or maybe you wanted that Louis Vuitton and you bought it and when your husband asked about the new purse, you told him, oh, don't worry, it's a Fui, which is a fake Louis Vuitton you got from, you know, Chinatown. So, or here's one. How about catching a 12-inch fish and telling your buddies it was a 24-inch fish and you never took a picture? Right, Sean? So these are some issues that we joke and laugh about, but they do affect our integrity. Whether it's a small lie or it's a big thing, you give somebody your word and you didn't come through, they affect our integrity. I'm going to talk about a man in the Bible when faced with a situation where his integrity was tested, he stood firm on what he knew was the right thing to do. The story starts in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it's about King David and his army going to battle with the Ammonites. Now, I say his army because King David chose not to go into battle with the army, which was customary in his days that the king went to battle with his army. But this time, he sent his commander Joab to go instead. Now, they say the war lasted around 2 years, but not longer than 2 years. So one day, he was home. He just got up from his nap, walked out on the rooftop, was overlooking the city, and he noticed a woman of, the Bible says, unusual beauty, bathing. So he asked his servants who she was, and they replied, that is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. He summoned her for a visit. They had an affair. She became pregnant. Which makes me wonder is, if he was gone for possibly up to 2 years, was this a one-time thing or was this a multiple event kind of thing? So, you know, thinking about it, Pastor Tim, that could be a message for another service, that not being where God has called you to be and the kind of stuff we can get our lives into when we're not where we're supposed to be. This man's name is Uriah the Hittite. Now, Uriah's name means the Lord is my light. He was one of King David's mighty men, or simply called the 30. So in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6, we'll jump into scripture. It says that David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the armies were getting along and how the war was progressing. Then he told Uriah, go home and relax. David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace. But Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, what's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away for so long? Uriah replied, the ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab, my master's men, are camping in the open fields. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing. Okay. Well, stay here today, David told him, and tomorrow you may return to the army. So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk. But even then, he couldn't get Uriah to go home to be with his wife. Again, he slept at the palace entrance and with the king's palace guard. See, Uriah proved his integrity because he showed honor. It was customary in those days for the warriors to stop having sex with their wives once they found out they were going to war. King David knew this, and he urged him to go home to be with his wife after the long time of being away. Even after King David got him drunk, he still did not slip and go against what he knew was right. See, David knew he was wrong, first off, for not being at war. Second off, David knew because Uriah didn't go home that he wouldn't be able to get Uriah to cover his sin. So Uriah chose to sleep on the ground like the officers in charge of him and like the soldiers under his command. Showing honor in all ways is living a life full of integrity. Here at the Father's house, we live by that same principle. We honor up, we honor to the side, and we honor down. Now the rest of the story goes that Uriah didn't go home to be with his wife. King David wrote a letter. He handed it to Uriah and asked him to take it to Joab, to the commander. The letter stated to put Uriah in front of the battle and to pull the troops back so that Uriah would be killed. So Joab did as the king requested, and Uriah was killed. So after Bathsheba's time of mourning, she ended up marrying King David. So think about that. He had to deliver his own death warrant to Joab, unbeknownst to him. Makes you think. The best choices are made from a deep well of character. It's about doing what is right simply because it is the right thing to do, even if it costs us. The willingness to do the right thing for others, despite what we may lose, is our biggest challenge. So don't let your personal desires weaken your integrity. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 states, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. See, your integrity is your word. It's your bond. It's what you will most be remembered for. He had formed a bond between his fellow warriors, kind of like a band of brothers. It is our calling and our spirit of love and compassion that God will bless. Integrity like that honors God. Today, we all could use a band of brothers. We all could use that support group like Uriah had. What's the best thing is get an accountability partner. Get somebody or a group. Join a small group. At the Father's house, we have life groups that you could join. And be open about the situations in your life. These people, so get somebody who you value their honesty and their godly advice. Not someone like David who tries to manipulate you and drag you down. You know, like the old saying, misery loves company. So, are you willing to do the right thing even if God and your conscience are the only witnesses? Wow. So, in closing, Uriah made a choice that cost him dearly. I mean, it cost him so dearly, it cost him his life. However, Uriah's story doesn't stop there. His name is mentioned a couple more times in the Bible, with the last time being in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus. See, God honored Uriah's faithfulness and integrity to the end. And like Uriah, we can start as a nobody and become a somebody in God's sight. Amen. Now, please help me welcome Pastor Roberta.
I'm a hurrying. I got on my sneakers. Good morning. I got a question for you this morning. How many might honestly admit that maybe, just maybe, you spend a little bit too much time looking at maybe Facebook Reels or the Instagram, I see a hand out there, Instagram posts or maybe the TikTok videos, anybody? Yep. I'm raising my hand. I love scrolling Facebook Reels to look for the little talking dog videos. Because, you know, I know that that is exactly how my little Isabel would sound if she could talk. Absolutely. And it always makes me smile. But, you know, when I'm looking for those reels, I am bombarded with countless photos, and I think you can relate to this, of what let's call all of the beautiful people. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that are airbrushed to the nth degree. They have been filtered beyond measure. They are all perfectly posed. Everything is staged, absolutely flawless. And you see them getting in or out of, let's say, their Maserati maybe, or their Ferrari, and it's always parked just right in front of the latest Hollywood spot, or maybe some other world event. And as you're looking at it, it's a world that you can't even begin to relate to. There's nothing in your life that's like that at all. And those are the people that the world would call the movers and the shakers of the world. And you know, with all of this seeming perfection staring you in the face, it can become pretty easy to start feeling like you're pretty insignificant, like you're a nobody. Like there's nothing in your life that compares to any of that. None of your accomplishments, nothing. And that you know that your life is never going to be measured up and that you're not going to be in anybody's who's who. Well, if you've ever felt that way, I want you to know that you might be in some pretty good company with a lady that we're going to take a look at today. And that is the widow with the two mites. Now, y'all definitely know her. And we don't know very much about her. We only see her mentioned twice in Scripture. Once is in Mark chapter 12, and the other time is in Luke chapter 24. And what we do know about her is that she was a widow, and that she, was poor. Now, what that meant is that she probably existed on the kindness and the generosity of the people that were around her. Or she might have gotten some type of subsidy from the treasury. And we know that Jesus was looking at her as she put her offering in the treasury, as he was looking at a number of other wealthy and influential people as they also placed their money in. And we know that Jesus used what he saw as a teaching moment for his disciples. Now, why was that? Why was that? He said that she had accomplished in her giving more than all of the others had given in their abundance. More than all of the others. And why? Because she gave not out of her surplus, but she gave out of a place of sacrifice. But you know, from a natural standpoint, there was nothing very outstanding or extraordinary about this widow. She probably blended somewhat into the background, back into the shadows. We don't even know what her name is. Most people would say, well, she had nothing to contribute. There was nothing of value in her life. She had nothing to offer anyone, let alone God. Now, does this sound at all like you? As you look around, and maybe you're not even looking at the videos or the clips, you're just looking at the people that are around you, and you think there's nothing in your life that could make any difference to anyone, let alone to God. Well, I want you for just a moment, I want you to step away from all of those photos. I want you to get past all of the filters, all of the airbrushing, all of the staging, all of the posing, and I want you to begin to see yourself through God's filter. Because that is the only true filter. And I want you to know that when God looks at you, you can stand up underneath his scrutiny. Now, as we look at the widow's story, there are a few key points that I want to look at this morning. If you've ever come to that place in your life where you feel insignificant, like you have nothing to contribute, and that you're a nobody. And the first one was that God saw her. Jesus didn't just give her a passing glance over his shoulder. It said that he observed her. He saw what she did. And to God, she was more than enough. She had accomplished more than all of the others. You see, there is no limit to what God can do through your life, your talents, your abilities, when you place it in his hands. You see, God also saw all of the wealthy, all of the influential, and he saw what they had contributed. Yet, they are the ones that came up short. Now, why is that? Because God doesn't want your surplus. He doesn't. What he wants is your surrender. In God's economy, what the widow gave, which it was about a quarter of a penny, amounted to more than all of the others. You know why? Because you see, God doesn't need the super wealthy. He doesn't need the super talented. He doesn't need the super anything. What he needs are the surrendered. Those that are willing to lay it all down at his feet. For kingdom purposes. You see, this widow trusted God completely. You've got to recognize she didn't have an American Express tucked away in her tunic. She didn't have a 401k that she'd been contributing to all of her life. She didn't have a stock portfolio. She knew that when she put her offering into the treasury, that was it. Literally, that's all she had to rely on. But God. You see, don't let what you see as the value of your life or what you think are your accomplishments and your talents influence your willingness to place them in God's hands. You see, the widow wasn't intimidated by the gift and offering of others. Why? Because what she did as an act of worship to her God. Don't listen to the enemy when he tells you that you're not enough. That your life is not enough, that you don't have anything to offer because it's not true. And also know that your life can be a living testimony. Throughout the years, the widow and her story has been told countless times. How many have ever heard a message on giving with the widow and the two mites? I think we all have. Why does it stand up? Because the message is true. Yet what the widow did, and when she did it, she had no understanding, no knowledge at all of what this act of worship would come to represent to so many people. Yet God used it to impact the world. What might he be able to do in your life? You know, this morning, you know what? You may be a student, and you may be going to school, working a job, trying to get your tuition together. So you work all day or you go to school all day and you come home and you're bone tired. And you think, you know what? I just don't have anything else to give. What do I have to offer? Or you know what? You might be a mom. And what your routine consists of every day is getting up before everybody else, making breakfast, packing lunches, getting people off to school, doing two loads of laundry, cleaning house, running a carpool, going to a soccer match, coming home, making dinner, and going to bed, falling out, dead tired, just to get up and do the next thing in the morning. And you wonder, how can I do this? What do I have to give? There's nothing in my life. Nobody even notices what I'm doing. Or maybe every day you get up early and you go to a job that has no future in it as far as you can see. You're there before everyone else in the morning. You work past everybody else at night. You're the last one home. And you come home so tired, you plop in your favorite chair, and you think, I've got nothing to give. There's nothing left. Or perhaps this morning you're retired. And you'd say, you know what? My ship's already sailed. I've given all that I can. There's nothing left in my life. There's nothing of value. I have nothing to offer anybody. I have nothing to offer God. Or maybe today you're older, or you can't get around like you used to. And you wonder, well, what could God want with my life? What is there that I have to offer? Well, I want you to know that that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. That your life doesn't matter, that you're insignificant, that you're a nobody. But I want to tell you, the God of the universe is the one who created you. He is the one who designed you. He is the one who gave you your gifts, who implanted those abilities within you. And all he asks is that you trust him, that you surrender it, and you let him work in your life beyond anything that you ever dreamed is possible. You know, I want to tell you that today, you may never pass the world's filter test. You might not. You may come in this morning and you're driving a Maverick and not a Maserati. You know what? You may not be able to hit a golf ball, sink a basketball, play a musical instrument, sing a note, write a note, have a stock portfolio, have a 401k, or you may just not even be able to maneuver out your front door without a walker and an oxygen tank. But I want to tell you, God knows your name. And you are not a nobody to him. You are not insignificant to him. He hasn't finished writing your story. But today, the choice is yours. Are you willing to step out of the shadows, surrender it all, and trust your God with the outcome? Thank you.
Wow. Wow, we have been really taught today. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Miss Roberta, very, very much. So as we kind of wrap this series up today, let's talk about Uriah for a second. His integrity confirmed that he belongs on the somebody's list, just like you belong on the somebody's list. Accountability was the key to Uriah's integrity. That's true then, and it's also true now, today. Are you trying to walk your Christian walk alone? That's a lonely, lonely place to be. Do you need encouragement today? Do you need somebody to help hold you accountable? Loneliness can be a hard place to be in. Do you see how these two teachings today were interwoven? They each spoke kind of about the same thing. Richard asked us, are your personal desires weakening your integrity? He gave us a great next step when he talked about signing up for a life group. And here at the Father's House, life group signups will begin on September 21st. But maybe right now individually you're thinking of a situation where you could really need to up your game when it comes to your integrity. We joked about little lies to our spouses, but little lies can lead us down a very dangerous path to larger lies and more things that can ruin a marriage. Made-up stories to our coworkers can lead us down the path of lies and maybe impacting our jobs. Or maybe you find yourself making promises that you really can never keep. See, Richard taught us that when we live a life of integrity, we will receive God's blessing, his favor, and his security. And I don't know about you, but I could sure use more God's blessing, favor, and security in my life. So if that's you today also, and you say, Tim, yeah, there's a couple areas in my life where I need to up my game for integrity. I just want you to raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray with you. I know my hand is raised. I want to be the most integrous person that I know. I want to do better. So with our hands raised today, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you that you look down on us. You don't condemn us today, but you want to show us even better ways that we can live a life of integrity. Father, help us to tell the truth, as Richard taught us, even when you and us are the only people, that nobody else is looking, that we will do the same thing and we will tell the truth. We will be honest. Father, we want to walk that walk. We want to live that life. Give us strength, Holy Spirit, this week to tell the truth, to be a man or a woman of honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we kind of keep in an attitude of prayer today, the nameless woman who gave her all. Wow. See, to everybody, she appeared to be a nobody. Maybe she liked it that way. Maybe she had become comfortable that way. Maybe it was her only way of coping. hoping to hide from the looks, the stares, the whispers. She had learned merely to blend into the background, to not be seen, thinking she had nothing of value to offer anyone. And as Miss Roberta said, certainly she had nothing to offer God. For some of you out there today, this is how you feel. It's how you see yourself. You have perfected the art of hiding in a crowd. To maybe what's been done to you when you were little, when you were smaller or younger. What's been done to you recently. What's been said over you. And sadly, what you now feel about yourself. See, you've convinced yourself that you're a nobody and have become comfortable being lonely, feeling no one truly loves you. So you can still be in a crowd of people and be lonely. Went to two events yesterday, my wife and I. We went to a wedding, and then we went to a birthday party. Well, at the wedding, during the reception, my wife was doing what she does, which is help and take care of people, and she's helping to set up the food and everything. And I knew probably about 70% of the people in this wedding, but I found myself in a corner, looking at everybody kind of interacting, laughing, and talking. And I knew what Miss Roberta was going to teach about today. And I kind of wondered if that wasn't the way that the lady felt when she went to temple that day and put her offering in there. She probably knew some of these people. She went to temple, but she was just blending into the background. I went outside because it was kind of an indoor-outdoor event. And I sat down at a table and I looked around and everybody around the table's just hanging out. And then I felt weirder because now I'm just sitting here all alone like this, not talking to anybody. And it really hit me. I wonder if that's how she felt as she looked around. And, you know, as Pastor Simone taught us, everybody else's life seemed to be really good at this party yesterday. And here I am just kind of all alone. But you know what? God sees you today. He sees you. He knows why you feel like you can't have anything to offer. He knows you. He knows your deepest thoughts. He knows those hurts. But sometimes you feel that way because you're separated from God. See, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and we come short of the glory of God, and that sin separates us from God. See, we were born into sin. It's not necessarily something you did. You don't plan to go out and sin. But we need to reconcile ourselves to Jesus. See, can I tell you, just as Miss Roberta taught us today, that God sees you through His filter. He loves you not out of pity. He loves you with a genuine love. He knows your name, and that love was so great that He sent His Son to die for your sins and for my sins. See, the stories we heard today were told, and they were about a time when the priest would sacrifice once a year, see man's sin. And only a blood sacrifice could cover that sin. And they would kill an animal once a year for the sins of the people. But God loved you enough that He had a better plan. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and to die on the cross for me. And then 3 days later, raised Him from the dead to conquer sin, to conquer death forever. He wants to give you a new beginning today. He wants to write that story that Miss Roberta was telling us about. And you only have to take one step. It's so easy today. You just have to say yes. You might ask me, what does saying yes mean? It just means that you no longer want to be separated from God. That either for the first time or as a recommitment, you want to re-reconcile yourself to God today. God has that plan. Today, I want you to bow your heads with me. I want you to close your eyes. And real quick, if that's you today and you say, yes, Tim, I want to say yes to God. I want to reconcile my life to God. I just want to see your hand. I want to know who I'm praying for today. Right now, I see a hand right back there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see another hand right here. Thank you, thank you. Hands going up across this auditorium today. God wants your story to be the best story. Another hand all the way in the back there. On the corner, in the back. Thank you so much. And as Pastor Simone had us grab hands today, we're a family. We are all going to join with you. I want you to say this prayer. If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, I want you to say this prayer with me today. We're all going to say it today as a family. Dear God, thank you for seeing me as a somebody, for loving me enough to send your Son to die on the cross for my sins. Today, Heavenly Father, I put my faith and trust in you. I surrender my life to you. I am a somebody because of you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, let's celebrate today.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.